welcome back. It's midday and they're back. Speaking of being back, live concerts, that is. We're listening to the great cellist Amit Pellet. He's heard here playing the music of Ennio Morricone. He is the founder and music director of a chamber orchestra called the Mount Vernon Virtuosi, and a week from tomorrow, he will conduct the group and play as a soloist in a concert that marks the return to live events for the Candlelight Concert Society in Colombia. The concert will be held outdoors in Symphony Woods Park. Some COVID protocols, of course, will be in place, but after more than a year of hearing concerts on Zoom, music lovers are delighted that in-person concerts are slowly making their way back to area stages. Amit Pellet joins us today on Zoom just for this interview, not for the concert, a week from tomorrow. Amit, welcome back. Always good to talk to you, sir.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be back. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. So have you played any jobs outside or inside? Have you played any concerts since the pandemic began more than a year ago?
Well, as you said, most of the concerts were on Zoom, but actually the Morricone, the love theme from Cinema Paradiso, I played in Asheville about 2 weeks ago. That's what you just heard with Darko Borak and the Asheville Symphony. But I started traveling around, but this would be the first time here at home in Maryland. So I'm extremely excited. And you said this is great for the public, but I tell you, it's also great for us, the artists.
Yeah, of course. So what was it like in Asheville when you played? Was it indoors or outdoors?
Well, it was indoor. It was in a hall and we had about 60 people. And it was just to have human beings around me on stage and to have people reacting to you in the audience. This is just a dream come true. So I felt really on the sky just to be able to play in front of people. And now to bring my own orchestra, which is based here in Maryland, and to share it with our own people here in our state is something we've been waiting for a long, long time.
And how have you handled the rehearsals with the orchestra prior to the concert a week from tomorrow? I mean, I've talked to folks in the theater industry, even the ones who are, you know, well, everybody is pretty much doing these productions that are being filmed and posted online. There are no live audiences for most theatrical productions now, and they have these very extensive COVID protocols about how they rehearse. What are the sorts of things that you've all had to do with Mount Vernon Virtuosi to make it safe for people to get together and play?
Well, first of all, during the pandemic, we have been very active with storytelling for kids, classical music story time at the Pratt Library in Baltimore. We've produced videos of us playing in smaller groups, quartets, quintets, and just myself playing Bach suites for our audiences, for schools, for kids. But this will be the first time. So what we have done, I've met with the principals of the orchestra via Zoom, but next week is an exciting time for us because not only we play the concert, but we get together for the first time, the entire orchestra, 18 musicians plus me, the conductor and a cellist, and we will have 3 days, I call it the Mount Vernon Virtuosi musical boot camp, where we are going to just hang out together with masks, social distancing and all of that, but making music. And we will rehearse from morning to night and get the program ready for Saturday.
And tell us a little bit about the personnel in the Mount Vernon Virtuosi. You are revered as a teacher. You've been on the faculty of the Peabody Institute for some time now. So not only are you a concert and recital soloist around the world, but your commitment to teaching is longstanding. I guess many of the people in the orchestra have a connection to you that way. Is that right?
Yes. So as a teacher here for the past 18 years already at Johns Hopkins at Peabody, I've always felt that we are preparing those extraordinary musicians, talents. Some of them grew up here in Maryland. And then just at the time where they really need our help before getting a real job, we let them go. And many of them are falling into the cracks. And I felt that if I will establish an organization here, a nonprofit that will make sure that we can give them jobs and pay them well while they're looking for their first job, hoping in parentheses that that first job will be Mount Vernon Virtuosi with our education programs and concerts. So I started it really to help them to get to that stage between finishing their college degree and starting their life, hoping that their life will be here in Maryland. At the same time, our concerts are free of charge most of the time, and we do a lot of education programs. So we make sure to give those young musicians really jobs in Maryland so they can stay here. They can feel, okay, I chose a school here, but now I choose to live here. And that's really the mission of Mount Vernon Virtuosi. And at the same time, to give back to the community where we live classical music.
Amit Pellet is my guest. He is an acclaimed world-class cellist. He's also the conductor and founder of the Mount Vernon Virtuosi, an orchestra that will be playing a live concert in Columbia under the auspices of the Candlelight Concert Society a week from tomorrow at 2 o'clock in Symphony Woods in Columbia. Our number here at Midday, if you want to have a conversation with Amit, 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org, and our Twitter handle is @midday. WYPR. So, Amit, when it comes to a music education for young people who are training to be professional musicians, COVID-19, you know, obviously a devastating development for every industry, but the arts perhaps more affected than almost any other industry. It's predicted that, you know, these live events, indoor live events, will be among the last to come back, you know, once things are more normal and more people get vaccinated and people, you know, once we stop transmitting the virus to each other, given the best of circumstances, concerts are going to be one of the last things to return. What are you hearing from these young people about their expectations and now their aspirations for a career in professional music, given what they have been living through these last, you know, 18 months?
Well, obviously it's shocking for them and it's shocking for their mentors. But I have to tell you, Tom, that, you know, the music industry has survived, especially classical music, for the past 400 years. And I find it really a mission for me as a mentor to not only teach them how to play, but to teach them how to behave as citizens, as musicians. And this has been a challenge for us, but I have to tell you, many doors have opened for me as a local professor here, as a local artist, to teach and to share my music with people that I haven't dreamt that is possible. I have now students in Saudi Arabia, in Tehran even, in Hawaii, in Korea, you name it. So if I can show my students that with technology we can really share music from wherever we are, and at the same time, looking into our communities. So for us musicians, it's really important to play. It can be one person, it could be 50 people. It's important to play for human. I started a concert series in my neighborhoods in Pikesville. And every weekend I go outside to my garage, to the lawn, I sit with a cello and I play. And people come in with a bottle of beer or whatever, they sit outside with masks. And I play, so I feel that I share music. I sometimes put it on live on Facebook. I sometimes have my students with me. But that's another lesson that I teach them, that no matter what, if it won't be in Carnegie Hall or in front of 2,000 people, if you go to the Symphony Hall, it's going to be somewhere. And somehow we will share music. Music is needed, period.
Let me do one of my favorite things, which is listen to you play for a second. This is music of Bach. A sarabande, Amit Pellet on the cello. As beautiful as that sounds, I mean, you make a great point, because it's so important to have a human connection when you're playing concerts. And I love recordings. I made a few when I was working full-time as a musician. But boy, there really isn't anything that replaces the energy, whether it's in your garage in Pikesville, or as you say, or in, you know, Symphony Hall on the Upper West Side of Manhattan or in Baltimore. It's that connection that we all miss, isn't it?
Exactly. I want to share with you one anecdote I just had with a student in a lesson when they asked me, Mr. Peled, so how can you do it just playing for Zoom and only now getting back to play for people? Do you feel there's a difference? And I asked him, I said, look, we are now close to each other. I can ask you a personal question. And I asked him, have you ever had a girlfriend? Have you been in love before? And he said, oh, yes, sure. And I said, well, the difference between playing for a computer or playing for people is the difference between looking at a photo of your girlfriend or having her right in front of you and looking at her. And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, yeah. And so many people, I had Jenny Coe on the show, a wonderful violinist, whom you may know. She was here on Midday a couple weeks ago, played a concert for the Shriver Hall series. It was an online concert, a Zoom concert that, you know, she played, I guess, from her apartment. I'm not exactly sure where she even did it. You know, that's where most people have been doing it. But it is interesting to hear you say that you think moving forward, the technology that's had to develop because of COVID-19 will continue to be employed during the post-pandemic period. We had the mayor of Annapolis saying the same thing. A lot of the changes they made to traffic patterns and pedestrian walkways and access are going to stay in place because people have decided they really like them, even though they wouldn't have thought to do it had COVID-19 not been part of the mix.
I sure hope so. I even offered in one of the meetings at Hopkins, I said, you know, there's so many students now that want to study here in our school with me in my studio, and I cannot accept all of them. How about we start another degree, an online program that is cheaper, but we open, let's say, a center in Beijing, in China, where they can live in a sort of a dorm and study with us here with a teacher, and we will go maybe once a semester there to see them, but it'll be a different degree. It will be an online degree that you can get from Johns Hopkins. And people looked at me in a little bit crazy way, but at the end of the meeting, we started really brainstorming, how is that possible? And I know that a lot of people would consider it seriously, A, financially. It's just easier. And then the visa issue and the travel issue and all of that. So there's an opportunity here to share what we do, to share Maryland, to share Baltimore, to share the history of Johns Hopkins with the world in few ways, in in-person way, but also at the same time with technology. And same goes to playing. I have done what I call a meet and greet, were actually candlelight concert series. That's how this all planning started, because I met with their board on Zoom, and I played for them for half an hour. They were all in their basement like I was, but I took them on an imaginary trip around the world through the pieces I played. And at the end, we had a toast or a glass of wine, and everybody had a smile. We had what I call a virtual hug to each other. And then all the board members said, we want your orchestra, but with one condition, that you have to not only conduct, you also have to play. So now I have to play and conduct at the same concert. But that all came from what I call a meet and greet. And it's something I would never think of doing on Zoom, have a glass of wine with people I don't know and play for them and take them to Russia. Or I took them to Paris with Saint-Saëns, the Swan. And of course, I played the Cinema Paradiso, and I played some Jewish music and some American music, Bernstein. So you can take people with their imagination, with their soul around the world through Zoom. Again, it's not the same. But looking at your girlfriend on a photo is better than not seeing her at all, don't you think?
That's for sure. You're going to play the Haydn Cello Concerto. You're going to play this music we heard at the top of the segment, the love theme from Cinema Paradiso. And the orchestra is also going to play some other music. Give us a quick rundown of what's on the docket.
Yeah, so this is going to be really a highlight of what music we love in Mount Vernon Virtuosi. We start with Mozart Divertimento, which is exciting and passionate. And then we go to Barber Adagio. And I'm going to probably dedicate this to the people that have suffered from COVID, but mainly also to the people that have worked in the health departments around the world and have really saved us. Then comes the Haydn and the love theme, which is the cello part of the concert. And we will finish with Tchaikovsky. Andante Cantabile from String Quartet, and Piazzolla Liber Tango. And a little bit of a surprise, in Mount Vernon Virtuosi, as same as in my studio when I teach, everybody have to sing. So in between one of the pieces, I'm not going to say where, my orchestra are all going to stand up and sing a Bach chorale with masks, because it's something we do in this orchestra. We always sing in our concerts, not only play. So whoever is going to come and get a ticket is going to not only hear us play and see us play, they're going to hear us sing. And
well, as a recovering choral conductor, I can only applaud you heartily for that idea. That's terrific. One of your children's initiatives, of course, is called Every Child Deserves a Voice. Maybe you should change it to Every Cellist Deserves a Voice, too. That's terrific. Amit Pellet will conduct and appear as the soloist a week from tomorrow in a concert at Chrysalis. It's a beautiful theater in Symphony Woods Park in Columbia. It's being presented by the Candlelight Concert Society. It starts at 2 o'clock. You have to wear a mask. You can't bring your dog, and you have to sit with folks in your pod, but it won't be on Zoom. And that alone is cause for many to celebrate. So we got a link to all the details on the Midday webpage. Amit, break a leg, enjoy it, have fun, and thanks so much. We'll look forward to having you back soon.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. Take care.
So that's it for us today. Coming up Monday, Dr. Lena Wen returns for another edition of the Midday Health Watch. Midday's director and engineer is Luke Spicknell. Mallory Pinkard-Pierre is our supervising producer. Rob Sivek's our senior producer. Jamila Krimple, our digital content director. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.
You're listening to your NPR news station, 88.1 WYPR.